This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is Open for Business. I'm Audrey Raj, and this is part two of our very honest conversation with food innovator Navin Karu. Navin is the chef and CEO of Ocean Flare Group, an F&B group which encapsulates Vin's restaurant and bar in Tamantun Dr. Ismail, the food company, a butchery and deli in Tamantun as well, the Velvet Lounge, a lounge and bar on the first floor of Vin's, Manja KL, which provides a high-end dining experience in Old Malaya, Sago, a specialized events and catering service, and Big Boys Barbecue, the group's badass barbecue catering arm. Yesterday on the show, we covered how Vin's, the food company, the Velvet Lounge, and Manja KL was established and all the challenges that came with these physical entities. We're now about to move on to the birth of Sago, which came about thanks to the success of Manja.
Manja was initial 6 months. We had a lot of concept development, a lot of things we had to do, but Manja hit it really well. Top-rated restaurant in Kuala Lumpur, I think for a good 8 months. Michelin Guide Taipei recommended to come and visit us. All the five-star hotels send their guests to us. It's picked up very well, and we're obviously still continuously improving it, and that's what we love to do. So what happened from the birth of Manja was we suddenly had a plethora of people coming for catering services. So we used to do Vin's catering a lot as well, but that would be your bakes, your lasagnas, your roast, more the Western style catering. But when we hit the Manja market, there was suddenly a huge demand for specialized catering services. And what I mean by specialized catering services would be, before I go into that, what happened was we weren't able to put a brand to our catering service because people would say, oh, I like that pasta that you had in Vin's, and I love the manta with the crab you had in Manja. Mm. And you know, in the food company, I saw this sashimi salmon, and I think I want to have that as well. Could you do it, Navin, you think? The person who runs all the events would be cracking our head and saying, all right, so now we're going to send an email or send, what do we send it under? Like, what do we do? And, you know, that was sort of the birth of, hey, why not we create a catering arm that we can put these brands and feature these brands under one home and give, and, you know, so that's how the birth of Sago came about. So Sago is sort of this tropical feel that we want to give to catering. So think different shades of greens, think flowers, think orchids, think beautiful setups. So it's not just putting your chef, it's not just putting the buffet warming dishes coming to your house and standing there. You know, I think that can be done by anyone. Ours is about interactive, live cooking, bringing the kitchen to your house or bringing the kitchen to your, making a live kitchen in front of you with all the oils, the salts and the different type of spices, the fruits and the veggies that we use, and cooking in front of you in a way that people can appreciate the processes, cooking on charcoal in front of you. So I think that has been so fun, I tell you. I think it's been really, one of our pride and joy, I say, Sago.
It does sound fun, but it also sounds expensive.
Depends on what you say expensive is, you know. I think Sago ranges anywhere. You could range from probably about the high 80s to 400 to 500 per head. We've even done stuff for 60 ringgit, simple stuff, and whatever we put on the table, we make sure that it's substantial. It's not, you know, chicken wing and, you know, just some fried this and fried that, or, you know, it is proper food. And you get food that is made with love. You get food that is cooked in front of you, not cooked days in advance, not frozen. You get food without preservatives in all our restaurants. You get food without chemicals, without the drugs that go on in restaurants now, which is a huge issue. You find out why the cancer rates are growing. You find out because it's all the chemicals in food. There's a lot of lobbying going on the internet that MSG is okay for you, and all of a sudden, you know, these kind of things, and people get excited, and it's not true. You know, it's actually, you got to look and research these articles and see who's funding them and it's in so many, and MSG is in so many products, and it's funded by, and they're so clever to fund different brands. It's in our chili sauces, it's in our soy sauce, it's in our dark soy, it's in our, It's in chicken stock, beef stock, fish stock, veggie stock. It's in every single product. Not ours, but I mean in general products. So if you want to stay away from chemicals and all, it's very hard. And because consumers are so used to this feeling, sorry, to create that naturally is a huge challenge for us. So what do we use?
A challenge, why? Cost? Cost is, exactly,
you're right. There's two challenges. One is the cost element. So let me just break down two dishes for you and just to give you an idea. I break down a simple fried rice. So let's say you're making a fried rice, one with MSG and one without MSG. The MSG fried rice would be hardly any garlic, white rice, an egg, pepper, and MSG.
Mm.
Tastes amazing. But you'll get that overall taste. You wouldn't be able to taste the individual items of a dish. On the other hand, if you do a proper fried rice, you'd need shallots, you'd need chili padi, you'd need oil, you'll need garlic, you'll need pepper. You may even need to infuse a sambal inside. You'll probably need to use two eggs. You need to use many ingredients. You need to use dried shrimp. You need to pound the shrimp. Because these are, so can you imagine that from a cost perspective, what the amount of, and you got to use coriander or shallots.
And then finding that right balance.
And then finding that balance and then making sure that it all works together is a challenge. So that's from a cost perspective, and also the effort and the skill level to cook. So these are the things. And furthermore, the taste profile. So somebody, and you'd have customers who'd eat this low, a few ingredient fried rice and say, oh, it's damn good. Because there's not enough restaurants doing non-MSG food. And that's something that's changing now. I think the new restaurateurs that are coming up are really changing the game, because they are more aware of the younger generation at the point, are more aware of what's going on. And I think the people who are starting the restaurant business, I think now, it's not all coming from a financial perspective. And I think it is really changing, and I hope that we get more restaurants and more. I think if we can create awareness from people, then people will push restaurants to think creatively and say, hey, are you putting MSG in your food? What chemicals are in your food? What is in these products? And then if we become aware, then we can hopefully we change our community and, you know, the way we eat.
So you obviously feel great responsibility about the food that you serve your customers. And then, of course, there's that variety of recipes coming from Vince, coming from Manja, you know, and of course, the deli, the food company. How are you managing all these recipes and the chefs that prepare these foods in these restaurants and, of course, your catering service? What's going on behind the scenes here?
Remember I spoke to you about empowering. So I think a lot of it is about training and empowering people. And we have a centralized structure where we operate. We have the corporate office. So we have each person responsible of each business unit. So we make them, they're basically mini CEOs.
Mm.
So for example, if you're running events, the event person would be trained, would have dined in these restaurants, would have met these customers, would have worked in the kitchen before, would have worked on the floor before, would have had numerous trainings with me, would have had role plays, would have, and I would coach them one-to-one. And I love to take people not from the background. So
you're starting with a clean slate. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm able then to mold them. All I need is a good attitude and to be able, allow me the trust they need to, allow me the trust to mold them. And when people give you that trust, you have to be responsible and mold them effectively. So we have, for example, just a couple of examples. My wife, Meneka, she was from Maybank Investment Bank. And she was in the finance department of Investment Bank. I had to poach her, but she asked for the same salary. So that was quite tough.
Smart.
then we have Nefertiti. She was a lawyer by profession. And she now runs all our events and handles our PR. We have Ishwari, barrister of law by profession. She has two masters and she runs Manja. And that's her passion. We have Max, who's our head chef in Manja. And Max started with me as a part-timer. We have Darshan who runs Big Boys Barbecue, which I'll share with you a bit. And Darshan has no cooking background. Darshan was in pharmaceutical industry. I can go on, but everybody was from a different industry. And I think the fact that they're willing to leave that industry and allow you to mold them and allow them to bring their expertise from that industry, I think creates a very interesting dynamic. But it's tough, let me be honest.
So that's the thing, right? Most F&B owners that want to scale, that is one of their biggest issues, you know, finding the right talent, not just the chefs and people who work in the restaurant itself, but someone to manage your business as well as you would if you did it yourself. How do you choose these people? What kind of criteria are you looking at?
I think you are absolutely right. I mean, the biggest challenge to expanding or to opening a restaurant is staff. And the concept I believe in is you need to find a way to match the needs of your team. And eventually all of them definitely want to earn a certain amount, want to be part of the business. So I think there's two areas that you need to look at. Number one is the working environment. So when we meet them and we interview them, we talk about what they want first. What do you want? How do you want to work? What time do you wake up? What time do you go to bed? When are you most creative? How do you like to work? How do you organize yourself? And we sort of prepare a framework with the HR from the beginning and try to suit sort of their needs. And I think that itself is a win from the beginning because they're coming to an environment where they have sort of dictated how they want to work. Because what do we want at the end of the day? We want the best out of them. So if we want the best out of somebody, you can't tell them exactly how you want them to do it. You can ask them for the outcome, but you can agree on the outcome, but the method is by them. And I think by doing that, they were able to, first of all, they will be loyal, they will stay longer, and you treat them with mutual respect. I don't believe in this boss-subordinate relationship. It doesn't mean anything. Frankly, you ask me, I'd rather they be the boss. Because it's for me, I want them to make decisions, not come to me for every little decision. Thirdly, I think what's important is find a way to bring them into the business. So is it via investment? So let's say if they have, because the people who join you as well now, they're all from very relatively strong backgrounds and they all relatively have good families with a lot of money, and I mean, some money and some with more money. And so we always ask whether they want to invest in the business that they are running or invest in one of our new ventures. So essentially we have, and for those who don't have the financial backing, there's a program that I offer, that I'm offering, we're actually crafting it now, where I pay for your shares first, and then you pay me back over time. So I build ownership, I build ownership through these channels. Of course, vetting the individual and having that chemistry and relationship with them. But I mean, it sounds all rosy, but I've had my fair share of misfirings and misjudging people. And the one thing that I learned the most is don't believe what people say, just watch what they do. And if you can always, because we are very emotional creatures, human beings, yeah, and we always want to believe everything, and people want to believe themselves as well, but all you can see is action. And if you just watch carefully, you can find the answers in anything you want, I feel.
More from Navin Karu, chef and CEO of Ocean Flare Group, after these quick messages. Open for Business, we'll be right back. BFM 89.9.
Benchmark for managers. BFM 89.9.
This is Open for Business and you are listening to a two-part special with chef and CEO of Ocean Flare Group, Navin Karu, who's just about to talk to us about the badass part of his F&B group, Big Boys Barbecue.
Okay, Big Boys Barbecue is a badass part of the business and I can say that on air, right?
Yes, okay. I will permit you, just twice today.
Okay, sorry. Big Boys Barbecue. See, we have this beautiful meat. We have antibiotic-free chicken. We have grass-fed beef, grass-fed lamb. We have spices from all over the world. So what more would you do in a butchery? It was only made sense. And then people started coming in. Hey, do you think you can marinate the steak for me? Do you think you can do this? And then I was like, hey, I said, what are we doing here? I mean, then we started making burger patties and our burger patties have no, you know, our burger patties are gluten-free. There's no breadcrumbs. There's nothing in it. There's just meat. I want to tell you the secret of a burger patty on air.
Yes, please.
Let me tell you how to make a burger patty. Don't go to the cooking channel. There's nothing you need to see. All you need to do is buy good quality mincemeat, 30% fat. If you're health conscious, pure meat. If you're, but you know, now with keto diet and all, the fat doesn't make you fat. So 30% fat, 70% meat. Don't squash it together. Add a lot of salt. Pack it together. Don't pack it too hard because you want the juice. When you cook, you want the juices to stay inside. Season it with meat. Put it in the grill 2 minutes per side, about 200 grams. You'll get a beautiful patty. It's just salt and meat. Meat loves salt. That's all you need. That's the secret of a beautiful burger. So you really need to go and try. Or alternatively, if you have any problems, give me a call. I can show you, or you can buy it from the food company.
So it sounds like Big Boy's Barbecue just came about due to demand. Like people were asking you for
exactly
what to do with their meat and show me how to do it. Is that
exactly
it?
Yeah. So we created barbecue packages. We have our homemade sausages, which are all natural. And we started to do packages for people. And we wanted to hit a wide market. So the price points for... You can get a barbecue package. We have 5 packages. And you can get a package for probably 20 ringgit a head, our cheapest package. And it comes with everything, sauces. All you got to do is throw it on the grill. So our cheapest package, I think, is 19 ringgit to 20 ringgit. Our most expensive package is 64 ringgit. So you can get the works for that. And you can also add on the chef and barbecue pit. We'll bring a live barbecue station to wherever you are. Mm. We do it for corporate functions. We do it poolside parties. We do it for kids. And it's just so much fun. And I think it's a beautiful business. And we do a cookout. We do a Big Boy's cookout every 2 weeks. We're going to try to make it every week right in front of the food company. From 4 p.m. to 10 p.m. Come and check it out. And everything's cooked on charcoal. No gas, no nothing, all natural. What we do plan to do in the future, we want to get a trailer. Mm. And we're probably going to have a Big Boy's outlet. So if you see a big trailer going around with, you know, this guy with a mean-looking jacket, that's probably going to be our trailer. Check it out soon.
So you've got pretty much 6 babies, if you think about it.
Yeah, Sago, Big Boy's, the food company, Vince, Velvet, and Manja, yeah.
Yeah, so 6 babies. Which would you say, which is the business with the highest revenue?
It would have to be Manja. Mm. Yeah, Manja would be the highest revenue. Also because the price points are higher in Manja. So you have this dish called Wagyu Gula Melaka, which is palm sugar marinated, ginger marinated Wagyu with Japanese rice and herb mushrooms. And okay, there's a lot of things going on. You have to come and try the dish. So a dish like that would cost 300-400 ringgit.
Wow.
So, but the price points, but you have also other types of dishes. But And it's a corporate crowd there. It's couples and corporate crowd. So when you go, you definitely go there to spend a little bit more money. So I would say Manja brings the most revenue, followed by Vince.
Yeah. And the business with the best margins?
It's a good question. Can I answer that? Menaka? business with the best margins, I would say, is would have to be probably Manja as well. Mm. Yeah, probably Manja as well.
You have 6 successful brands under the Ocean Flare Group. Were there any ideas or any concepts that didn't work in there?
Yes, definitely. Let me tell you a very quick story. I can be very transparent. It's no big deal. So the food company, for example, it was really hard for the first 5 years, I would say. 4 years. 4 years, it was a very, very tough time that we had because people were used to buy, because it was an education process. We would sell frozen meat frozen. We wouldn't defrost. The market will defrost for you. Defrost for you 3 legs of meat. The same leg, they'll defrost. Certain markets will defrost and tell you, okay, this is goat, this is local mutton, and this is Australian mutton, and then the 4th leg will be frozen. They're all the same leg. And they'll all have different prices, example. So we had a lot of battling to do with people and sharing of knowledge and telling people, hey, it's the same product and this is the price for it. And so there was a lot of conversion that we had to do. So we had to slowly gain trust in the market. Because think about it, your mom or you buy meat. I'm sure your mom buys her chicken from, where does your mom buy her chicken? Do you know?
The market.
Okay, do you know any market particular?
Tamantun.
Okay, Tamantun. So she knows this chicken lady, and the chicken lady has been cutting that chicken for her for the longest time, and she knows how she wants the fat to be removed and everything.
Yes, they have a relationship.
They have a relationship. Do you think she's going to switch easily?
No, not at all.
Exactly. So that's what we had. We had 4 years was convincing people and educating people and sharing recipes with people about the brand and about what we do. And now you can almost guarantee the sale. I know Auntie Sue is going to order 200 grams of this. I know that Auntie Anne is going to order this cut of beef for her stew. So we know what they're going to buy and we can predict the sales. Which is, and people come back to us and they come back with so much passion for our outlet, you know. Oh, I'm so happy you're doing this and you serve these products. Even people from Australia, we buy a lot of products from Australia and New Zealand as well. Our air-flown beef and lamb and frozen beef and lamb. And they buy, it's cheaper for them to buy with us than to buy in their home country, and because of the cost of labor, of course, there. So it's very exciting. And that brand was a particular challenge, but it's turned around very well now. And every brand has its own challenge. And if I think the most important thing, and something that one of my teammates, Avi, as Avinash has brought to light, was the importance of understanding the soul of your business and documenting that. And then being able to communicate that soul in everything you do. I mean, I knew about this before, but not as much as how he brought to light for me. So I have to also credit the people and the team around me for being able to make me to... I mean, I love people who challenge me, who have sometimes have better ideas or more interesting ideas, because it makes it all very exciting.
So what is the soul of your business?
So each restaurant has a different soul. So for the Ocean Flare Group soul, it's about people, passion, and food. If you look at Vin's Restaurant and Bar, it would be probably an aged Brunello. It would be an aged wine. If you look at Manja, it would be a Southeast Asian lady who has traveled Europe and brought all these flavors together. If you look at Velvet, it would probably be a masquerade because it's mysterious. There's a code. You know, you have to go up, it's a bar, so it's sort of the thing. If you look at Big Boy's Barbecue, it's, you know what I'm going to say, right? It's
just
mean.
Just do it.
It's badass. And if you look at Sago, it's a tropical garden and it's mystical and it's beautiful. And so each brand has its own, as I say, soul. So then we represent that in everything we do, from the uniforms to the way we speak. Yeah.
So what's next for Ocean Flare Group?
That's a very good question. I've been, you know, there's so many things been flying around. You know, there's a deli that I want to open called Sue's Gourmet Deli, which is a sandwich deli. There's a couple of businesses lined up. I have a passion, an undying passion that won't die, for sandwiches and breakfast with sausages. And sandwiches has been a passion that I wanted to do. So I want to open a deli called Sue's Gourmet Deli, home of sandwiches. So that's something I would love to do. I have a bungalow in the mainland of Penang that I want to develop into a homestay with an earthen kitchen and do Indian food. But just for the people there, that's something I want to do. I love the club scene, the jazz blues scene. I definitely want to open a jazz bar connected with an Italian restaurant underground. I have passion in a few areas and I want to do something that reflects that. So all my projects will be based on fun, enjoyment, and of course, sustainability and making, of course, trying to make a fair profit. That's good enough for me. But for now, I want to focus on the 6 brands and bring all of them to life correctly, because I want to make sure each brand stands on its own and can be sustainable. Because I think that's the most important, not just going out there and opening new outlets and stuff like that, because that's not how I want each brand to represent the values that I have when I started it, and make sure that the people running it understand those values. So I'm not doing anything else until I find that all the 6 brands sharing equal value and equal status.
I've been speaking with Chef and CEO of Ocean Flare Group, Navin Karu. Now, if you missed out on any part of this show or part one of our super real discussion about the F&B industry with Navin, you can find the podcast for both shows on our website, bfm.my. You can also look for the podcast on the BFM app, and we're on Spotify as well. My name is Audrey Raj, and on behalf of food innovator Navin Karu from the Ocean Flare Group, thank you for listening to Open for Business, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes, BFM 89.9.
The Business Station.